You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Now, before we start, you might want to check out our other podcasts covering topics like personal development and minimalism, money, health, relationships, and more. So to optimize your life in other areas, just search for Optimal Living Daily in your podcast app. Now, on to the show. This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 1437, How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen and Listen When Your Kids Talk, part 1. By Christina Eden of CoreLivingEssentials.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to ORD. I'm your host, Greg Audino, and I'm here with you every day, including weekends and holidays, to read to you from some of the best relationship books and blogs out there. Now, if you're new to the show, there are some nuances. So each Saturday is for Q&As, Sunday through Wednesday is general relationship narration, and Thursday and Friday is for parenting content, which, of course, we will be looking at today. It's a longer post that I'll be sharing, so I'm going to read part one today, and then you'll just have to come back for part two tomorrow. So let's do what we do best, jump into part one of this article, and start optimizing your life. How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen and Listen When Your Kids Talk. Part one, by Christina Eden of CoreLivingEssentials.com. The best method to get our kids' attention is to let them have our attention. Does that sound a little counterintuitive? This story was taken from the memoirs of two teachers who were instrumental in influencing change by enacting simple, small techniques with their teaching practices. In a rural town, a certain grade of children was disruptive and disrespectful. And it wasn't just one or two kids. It was the entire class. Their actions soon created a hostile environment not conducive to teaching. Many of us have experienced the rough days when children are learning about life, others, and how to best interact with the world around them. Sometimes we're successful in navigating these moments, and sometimes we need help. These two teachers were experiencing the full force of this struggle one day and banded together, forming a plan to help these children make better choices in how they interacted with others. The principles they taught and used are explained in their own words and include skills that bring love, connection, trust, dedication, self-belief, self-trust, and trust in others, and even a desire to build parent and child relationships that last a lifetime. They also address ways to disperse fears of not being good enough and fears of failure and loss. Memoirs. Quote, after 2 long years of teaching junior high, I was ready for retirement. When I'd entered the teaching profession, I'd expected the students to behave, to want to learn, and to show respect. Oh, they did as they were asked, if I coaxed, bribed, or threatened them. And not many were late if I waited to call roll a few minutes after the second bell rang. But respect? They didn't even know what the word meant. Taking the toll on my desire to teach were numerous obstacles. Students, apathetic attitudes, administrative political ploys, the parental dissatisfaction with the education system, the lack of cooperation, the high levels of competitiveness among faculty members, and the disrespect for fellow human beings. Time and time again, I'd been told, those students are worthless and disrespectful children. The evidence from my classroom, the hallways, and comments by other adults convinced me that this statement was true. Veteran teachers freely gave their condolences. There's nothing you can do about it, Janice. Just grin and bear it. It's part of your job. For 2 seemingly endless years, I followed the advice of the veterans. However, I was not happy. And as far as I could tell, neither were the students. The students were nothing more to me than objects in a room of furniture. My ideal classroom, a pleasant place for learning, had become a war zone. Daily, students engaged in confrontations, unpreparedness, flagrant ignoring of classroom rules, name-calling, and fighting. The more I incorporated the discipline philosophies of experts and veterans, the deeper I entrenched myself into the battle against the misbehaving students. Writing names on the board only produced cantankerous silence. The suggested rewarding for good behavior progressively cost me more money as the students became manipulative with demands for more costly rewards. In addition to the war that had developed in my classroom, I was constantly held responsible for any and all of the inappropriate behavior of students in the hallways, gym, and cafeteria. I was personalizing and internalizing every confrontation, and I was unable to leave the battles at school. My insides churned as I recognized that I only had one solution: to stop teaching. Encouragement from my family and friends persuaded me to stay until Christmas. If things were not better by then, I would quit. I know in order for me to enter my classroom the following year, I needed some sort of ammunition, some kind of help or power to engage in the classroom battles. I promised myself to enter this war with more strategies and tactics than all of the students combined. These battles would be fought in the trenches. I was determined that the students would not win. If I lost, so would the students. End quote. Does that sound familiar in any way? Raising kids can be like a war zone. What happened to all of those movies in which the kids obeyed and they grew up to be very strong and motivated individuals? There are a few skills to use that will change the war zone to the best time of our lives. Does it sound simple? Yes, it can be. We generally choose one of several parenting styles with our children, and just the name of the style gives a clue on how to parent. Can you spot your style? Number 1. Authoritarian. Authoritarian parents intend to shape, control, and evaluate the behavior and attitudes of children in accordance with a set standard of conduct. This style does not invite children to participate in the discussion of rules, disciplining, or expectations, followed by the belief that children should accept their parents' word for what is right. Generally, with this style, parents value firm control of their children's behavior, and are often less than warm in their own behavior. They rarely encourage their children to express feelings or point of view, particularly in disciplinary situations. This was the type of teaching used at that rural school. As is often the result of this style of parenting or teaching, the children rebel, or they become silent. They lash out, or they turn so far in that they're very hard to reach. They lose their identity and their belief in themselves. To be continued. You just listened to part one of the post titled, How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen, and Listen When Your Kids Talk, by Christina Eden of CoreLivingEssentials.com. Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow-knit activewear. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And most importantly, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And as for me, I love Quince's versatility too. They have great home items as well as clothes, and I've been really happy with the bedding that I bought from them. When you look at it and you feel the material, you can tell easily that it's of high quality. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/ORD for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ORD to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ORD.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, and this one from Christina is off to a good start. Thanks to her for that. Now, as we were going through that memoir, I found myself, I guess, surprised at how easily a lot of adults, even people as highly qualified to work with children as teachers, have such a difficult time stepping into the shoes of a child and considering the interactions from that angle. I guess what I'm saying is that we know kids better than we think we do. We were there once. And rather than following a manual passed from one adult to another about how to deal with them, it can often help to consult our inner child for guidance. So if you find yourself in a situation similar to that of the teacher quoted, direct your thoughts towards what you felt you needed as a child. What did you think you needed? What got through to you? And if there's time, what did you not realize that you needed until now? And how can that be relayed in a child-friendly way? Some food for thought as we end this episode, everyone. But there's a lot more left in tomorrow's part two. So I thank you for joining today, but do be sure to come on back for that one tomorrow where we finish up. That's where your optimal life awaits.